Psalm 5. The fifth psalm. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name, and Lord, how glorious you are in your person. How glorious are your attributes. Lord, there's none like thee. We ask that our prayer might be heard through thy Son, that you would grant us your presence, your blessing, and that we might be enabled to worship thee for Christ's sake. Forgive us of our sins. May we hear the joyful sound this day. Be with our friends that are going through trials and troubles we know nothing about. Those that are sick, we pray for your blessing upon them. Lord, wherever your gospel's preached, meet with your people for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now these are the words of him who knows the Father completely, who knows the Father intimately. These are his words, and he knows the perfections of his being. Now when we think of the Lord, we only know him from his word, but all of his attributes are perfect. All of his attributes are holy. Now you think of his sovereignty. You think of his justice. You think of his holiness. You think of his power. All of his attributes are altogether glorious, and there's nothing with regard to him that's not glorious. Even when we read of his hatred and his wrath in this passage of Scripture. That is not a blemish on His perfection in any way. This is who He is, and He would not be who He is without every one of His attributes. Now, these are first of all the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how I can handle a longer psalm like this in a half an hour, but I always like to look at it first as the words of Christ and then the words of David. Now, when we get to Psalm 119, I don't know how that can be done in 30 minutes. It's not going to happen. But let's look at these as they are. First, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to His Father. He says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation." Now, that word meditation is actually groaning, sighing. You know what a sigh is, don't you? It's a feeling of heaviness. And He says to His Father, "Consider my sighing. Consider my groaning." And what I was thinking about when I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ sighing and groaning, can you imagine what it must have been like for Him to be around a bunch like me and you all the time? That's really what that is. And being around unbelievers, He was being around people who He knew had no esteem for His Father, no love for His Father. They were fine without Him. They just assumed Him not even be in existence. And being in that company, He'd sigh. You know, He's called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I know that's mostly with regard to the fact that He was going to be made sin and what He was going to suffer. But hear my sighing. He says in verse 2, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." Now, the way He says this, I hope I pray. I ask the Lord to give me grace to pray. But even on down, when He says, "I will worship thee," well, I want to worship Him. I hope I'll be enabled to, but only the Lord can speak with such confidence. "I will pray. I will worship toward thy holy hill." Oh, the "I wills" of Christ. I think of when He said, "Father, I will that they whom you've given me be with me." You mean you can't pray that way, can we? We can't say, "Father, I will that you do this," but He can. He's equal to the Father. And here He is praying to His Father, the one He knew so well, so intimately. He says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Now, can't you see that's the words of the Lord? I don't know how. I want that, but these are the words of the Lord to His Father, talking about His direct prayer toward His Father. Now let's keep on reading. Verse 4. "Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." Now, this is who He is. He has no pleasure in wickedness. Evil's not going to dwell with Him. He's of too pure eyes to behold iniquity. This is who He is. God is holy. Look what He says in verse 5. This is the Lord speaking to His Father. And He says, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight." They're not going to be accepted. "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Now that's the Lord speaking to His Father. And He says to His Father, He knew His Father. And He's not apologizing for this, is He? This is not a blot against the Lord's character. This is part of His holiness. "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Now somebody says, "Well, I thought God loves everybody." You're not going to get that in the Bible. That's human religion, but you're not going to get that from the Bible. Somebody says, "Well, I thought God loved the sinner, but hated his sin." Show me where that is in the Bible. Give me the book, the chapter, and the verse. The fact of the matter is you can't. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. You see, God's holy. And his hatred is a holy hatred. It's not like our hatred. Somebody does me wrong. Somebody makes me look bad. I'm going to get mad at him, maybe even feel hatred. That's not God's hatred. It's not a vindictive, childish hatred the way ours is. His hatred is a holy hatred. That is who he is. Thou hatest all. That's a big demographic, isn't it? Now, he loves his elect. He loves those in Christ. He's always loved them. But thou hatest. This is what Christ says to his Father, and he's not apologizing for it. Let me repeat, this is not a blemish on his character. Thou, the glorious, holy, righteous, altogether lovely, sovereign, powerful God, hatest all workers of iniquity. This is his justice. This is his wrath. And when it's talking about his hatred, it's not an arbitrary hatred. It's not a capricious hatred. It's not a mean-spirited, vindictive hatred. It's who he is. He's holy. He can't have pleasure in iniquity. This is who he is. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Verse 6. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, lies. Particularly, I think he's talking about religious lies. Any kind of lies, but thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor. Now, that's strong language, isn't it? The Lord will be detested by. The Lord will abhor the bloody and the deceitful man. Now, that's God's view of everyone that's outside of Christ. He will abhor, be detested by the bloody and deceitful man. Look in Psalm 11 for just a moment. You know, this is so unlike the God that's preached in the average pulpit, isn't it? Just never even touched upon God's holiness, his hatred of those outside of Christ. God loves everybody. If God loves everybody and everybody's not saved, there's not much to his love. If he can love you and you wind up in hell and he's unable to save you, there's just not much to any kind of love like that. That's just some kind of sentiment that doesn't do anybody any good at all. Everybody he loves, he saves. There isn't going to be anybody in hell that he loves. Now look what Psalm 11 says, beginning in verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, what's it say? His soul hateth. Now that's said of God. That's what the Lord said of his Father. The wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Now let me back up. God loves the sinner, but he hates his sin. God doesn't put sins into hell. He puts the people who committed them into hell. You can't separate the sinner and his sin. For the righteous Lord, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. That's why he does what he does. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. And back to our text in Psalm 5, verse 7. But as for me, now he's been talking about the wicked, and that's why he's sighing. You know, consider my sigh, consider my meditation, consider my groaning. He says that to his Father. But now he says in verse 7, but as for me, I will come into thy house. Now, like I said, this is the Lord speaking. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, thy goodness. Look at the confidence he speaks with. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, thy goodness, thy faithfulness, in thy fear. And oh, how he feared his father. How he had a reverential awe of his father. He was equal to him, yet he feared him. He was heard. The scripture says he was heard in that he feared, doesn't it? Hebrews 5:9, he was heard in that he feared. Oh, the fear, the awe he had, the reverential awe he had of his father. He said, but as for me, I'll come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. He says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Lead me in thy righteousness. Now, he had the righteousness of God, yet he lived in complete dependence upon his righteousness. Once again, we see something of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ right here. Lead me in thy righteousness. Because of mine enemies, and he had enemies. Everybody who didn't know his father hated him. Make thy way straight before my face. 4, verse 9. Look at this description. And tell me if this is not a very accurate description of the average preacher. Look at this. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. None at all. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Now, I would say that that is as good a description of a false preacher as we have. The Lord says, destroy them, verse 10. Destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Now, he's asking for the destruction of the wicked. Would the Lord pray against somebody? Sure he would. Sure he would. He prays for his people. When he said, Father, forgive them, do you know everybody he prayed for was forgiven? Every single one of them. That's not a generic prayer. Everybody he prayed for was forgiven. Father, forgive them. The Father forgave them. He never has the prayers of his son unanswered. And everybody outside of him, he says, destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Now, notice that. Let them fall by their own counsels. Ain't nobody a victim. Our sin is our fault. We're not victims of the sovereignty of God. Now, I realize I don't want that there are people that have gone through horrible things, abuse, that have been victimized by people. I realize that. I mean, I think of the things some people have gone through. But as far as our sin goes, there's nobody that's a victim. Our sin comes from our own counsels. It is all our fault. My sin, I can't blame somebody else. I can't blame, well, God didn't keep me from it. No, the Lord, when he's talking about these people, he says, destroy them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. You see, the Lord was jealous of his father's honor. And he says, regarding these people, they've rebelled against thee. That's where the problem is. But, verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Now, where's your trust? I can say this with such conviction. It's in him. It's not in me. It's not in my understanding. It's not in my preaching. It's not in my prayers. It's not in my efforts to strive against sin. My hope, my trust is in him. All God requires of me is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that? That's what it is to believe in Him and to put your trust in Him. Let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. You see, if God be for us, who can be against us? Thou defendest them. If I'm somebody that trusts in Him, I've got the God of glory defending me. His hand is upon me for good. Let them also that love Thy name. Now, what is His name? It's not just knowing His name is Jehovah. It's not just knowing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's knowing who the name and what the name represents. Everybody here that has a name, I don't just think of the vowels and consonants that make up your name and see the spelling. When I think of the person behind that name that I know, what they're like. Now, every believer knows his name. That means they know who he is. He's holy, he's just, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, can't go anywhere where he's not. He's omniscient, he's all wise, he's independent, he has no needs. We know and love his name. Let those that love thy name. Let me ask you a question. Let's just talk about God's sovereignty. Do you love the fact that he's sovereign? Do you love this? I'm not saying do you believe the scripture teaches. I'm saying do you love his sovereignty? That he is in control of everybody and everything and every event and every thought. He's the cause. Let them that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, verse 12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Now that's what the Lord calls every one of his people. And this shows us something of the reality of justification. When he's talking about me, he says, the righteous. That describes every single believer. And that's the Lord's description of every single believer. The righteous. The righteous. Every believer is righteous in Christ. My sin has been put away. I stand righteous in Christ. Thou wilt bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield. You'll take all of his blows. Now that is the prayer of the Lord and his words, but these are also just as much the words of David. And David, one of the things that I love about David, and really about every other believer, David thinks like the Lord thinks. We have the mind of Christ, Paul said. He didn't say it's as if we have the mind of Christ. He said we have the mind of Christ, and we think the way the Lord thinks because we have a new nature, a new heart that doesn't sit in judgment of God and say God's wrong for being this way or God's wrong for doing that. No. Whatever the Lord does is right. We believe that. And it's right because he does it. That's the only reason that's needed. Now let's read this psalm as David. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation, my sighing, my groaning. My sin is ever before me. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about his groaning. My sin is ever before me. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. Hear me, for unto thee will I pray. My voice thou shalt hear in the morning, and I know why he shall hear it, because of the intercession of Christ. I don't say that on my own. I know why the Lord hears my prayers. It's because Christ presents them before the Father. And he shall hear the prayer of every single one of his people. He hears. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God. See, David knows the Lord, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak lies. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. Not on the footing of my works. As for me, I'm going to come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. And in thy fear, that reverential awe, that fear that makes me look nowhere but Christ. Now understand, this is what the fear of God is. You know, it aggravates me immensely when people talk about how people used to walk in the fear of God. And there's no fear of God anymore. Never was any. Never was any with the unbelieving world. Now, there's been times where morals have been worse or morals have been better. There's been times when ethics have been worse. Ethics have been better. Yeah, I don't even like language that. You know, the Bible never uses the word moral or ethics. Doesn't use language like that. But I know this. The fear of God is afraid to look anywhere but Christ is everything in your salvation. That's what the fear of God is. He says, In thy fear, will I worship toward thy holy temple. The Lord Jesus Christ is his holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. His righteousness is the only righteousness there is. And I simply want it to be led in his righteousness, his merit, his law keeping, his perfection before the Father. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies, my sins. I need his righteousness because of my sins. Make thy way straight before my face, the way of Christ, the way of grace, for there's no faithfulness in their mouth. The religion of man, there's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. They say all kinds of good things, but they're not true. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Now he's... How can a man pray that way? Well, the Lord did, but did not David say, do not I hate them, O Lord, which hate thee? Did he say that? I count them my enemies. Now, with regard to every man, I want to be kind to every man. I want to be gracious to every man. I want to have a merciful attitude. Somebody that despises the gospel is my enemy. Somebody who's an enemy of God is my enemy. And that's what he's saying. And this is somebody says, well, that's harsh. No, it's not. It's somebody who loves the Lord. That's why this is not somebody who's vindictive, who's out to hurt people, and who's out to try to make enemies. No, this is somebody who loves the Lord. And this is why he says this. He says, destroy them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels, cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. Here's why. For they have rebelled against thee. That's why. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice, glory in the cross. Let him be happy. Let him glory in the glories of what you've accomplished for them. Let them ever shout for joy. You know, there is reason for continual joy in a believer. I know there's a lot of sorrows, but there's reason for continual joy. Let them shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Now, I just love the fact that every believer is called the righteous. The righteous. I'm looking at the righteous. Isn't it an awesome thing to think? And that's every believer in Christ Jesus. Thou wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him, surround him as with a shield. What a glorious Savior every believer has. Amen.